cool clouds below your knees by Texan Ray Lynch signals 8 p.m. Wednesday, and it's time for So What's Your Story. It's the only program originating in Houston devoted to storytelling and only on listener-sponsored KPFT 90.1 FM. I'm your host, Dr. Hank Rubicek, and alongside a team smothered in talent, Greg Audell, Drs. Warren Holloman and Mary Edgerton, engineer and media maven Nicole Rocherlin, and ace intern Tatiana Gago, we celebrate the power of story by placing the spotlight on tellers who take us on journeys through windows of their souls before returning us safely to the present. You know, our team sees this program as a model of community radio, appealing to Houstonians who make a difference and have the stories to prove it. Tonight is an example of what I'm talking about, because tonight's guest tellers, Grace Mitchell, Esther Adayami, and Malia Guidry, are remarkable young ladies making a difference, all of whose names I mispronounce, but I'll get them later in the program, thanks to a special icon in our community, a person who earned the label Role Model. Jillian J.J. Simmons is a veteran on-air talent and has been a guest on this program a couple of times and is always a class act. She captivated listeners from her hometown, WIZF in Cincinnati, Dayton's WROU and WBLS in New York, working alongside Wendy Williams. But we know her best from her long-time gig on the box, Houston's KBXS-FM. She's a proud mom, using her parental passion to promote higher quality prenatal care for would-be moms in underprivileged areas. Now, this is just one example of how JJ's take on motherhood is anchored in action, because raising a daughter deepened her desire to encourage change in the lives of women, inspiring her to create the I'm Me Foundation, a place for positive social interaction, in building character, and ensuring that young women garner the tools to build and sustain confidence and a healthy self-esteem. JJ is an author, activist, and most important, my friend. Hello to all of you.
Hello.
Huh? That's all I can hear. Now, you're the loudest, most dynamic group. You're going, hello, hello. It's like you're on Valium or something. What is your problem? It is so great to have you guys here. It really is. I was very excited about this program. I'm always excited about the program, but I'm really excited about tonight. This is going to be great. Now, JJ, before you tell us a little bit about these wonderful ladies, tell us about the idea that you had to select these three to tell their stories tonight.
Sure. You know, the IME Foundation is really big on giving these girls the tools that they need to be successful in life. And we know that one of the things that you definitely need to know is how to write. And so these ladies came up with these great stories based off of the question, if you had a magical wand, what would you use it for to change the world for the better? And these girls wrote some amazing essays, and I'm very proud of them. Yeah. And yeah.
And so, they were the only three that wrote them. So what kind of criteria did you use in determining whose would be read tonight?
Well, creativity. You know, they did have to have 500 words or less. We wanted to make sure that it was something that would really make an impact in the world, something that may not be believable to everyone, but it's believable to them. And they did a great job.
Yeah, the only thing that really is believable is what you believe, isn't it? I mean, anything that you believe yourself is believable.
It is.
There is no such thing that isn't, and that's the truth. And I think that you wonderful, wonderful young ladies really demonstrate that best. JJ, tell us about who we have here. Tell us about Grace.
Okay, so Grace, she's 12 years old. She's a seventh grader. She has two siblings, Isaiah and Trinity. She has a career goal of becoming a surgeon, and her favorite subject is science.
Yeah, she was asking me what surgeons earn. I told her at least $12.50 an hour, to my knowledge.
Yeah, definitely.
Think.
At the least.
Yeah, at least. So I think she'll be fine if that's what she chooses to do. Yeah. She's asking, is that right? It's not right. I'm lying to you. Of course they're earning a lot more. They earn that every half second.
Every half second
right.
is right.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Tell us about Esther.
Okay, so Esther, who I think is pretty awesome. Esther is 13. She is a seventh grader. She has two siblings also, Enoch and Emmanuel. She loves science. That is one of her favorite subjects. And as far as career goals, she said there's just too many on the list. She wants to be some of everything.
Yeah, she's just one of those professionally ambidextrous people. Whatever she turns to do will be gold, I am sure. And Malaya, did I get that right this time?
Sure did.
Thank you. I was nervous before. I knew you were watching me, and consequently, I'll mispronounce everything. Yes.
Malaya, she is 14. She is an eighth grader, and she has several siblings, Curran and Vivica and Devin, and then her brothers, Terrence and Tristan.
Beautiful. Yeah. Well, we want to get to these stories because these stories, these essays are marvelous, very prolific and very poignant pieces. They really do beckon us to think a little bit more intrinsically than we ever seen possible. These are great pieces. Grace, your essay is a bold piece about the school shooting in Florida. What made the Florida shooting stand out for you? What made that the focal point?
It stood out for me because there has been a bunch of school shootings, but this one has been the most terrible one because it was 17 innocent children being killed and shot, and that just really affected me to write about.
Yeah, you know, when I heard it was 6 minutes and 20 seconds, 6 minutes and 20 seconds will never be the same to me. Do you agree? It just is amazing.
Yeah.
Share your essay with us.
My essay, it's called Make the Change. Don't be afraid. You will not be put to shame. Don't be intimidated, for you will not be humiliated. You will forget about the shame and shame you experienced in your youth. You will no longer remember the disgrace of your abandonment. Isaiah 54, verse 4. Being a kid in school is really scary today. I feel like making friends is hard and I'm alone sometimes. But getting a gun and shooting at anyone is not the right thing to do. Even if you are saying mean things to me. If I had a magic wand, I would change the law about who can buy guns, so we can be safe in schools and the way to protect yourself during a school shooting. I'm only 12 years old, and this year alone, there has been 17 reported school shootings. On March 8th in Mobile, Alabama, shortly after on March 13th in Seaside, California, and most recently, Lexington Park, Maryland, which occurred on March 20th. The school shooting that shocked me the most was shooting in Florida. And every week, which 17 innocent people were killed. Since then, it feels like shootings are happening every week and it needs to stop. This is not a reality that I want to live in. Yes, a chance is needed, but what and how? We cannot go around taking people guns because how will they protect themselves from real criminals who want to hurt them? Well, one way is to make people who are selling the guns do background checks to see if the person is buying the gun or have any criminal records or see if they committed a crime. Because why would you sell a gun to a person if they did something already bad? These shootings are happening in a gun-free zone. People there will have no way of defending themselves. And that is why these tragedies are devastating. So a way we can stop school shootings would be to have more security within the school. Hopefully, if we do that, the shooter will be caught faster. Media. We are attached to our devices. But what if we are not allowed to be on it during school? There may be a chance. Video games may be another issue to focus on. Why? Because video games now are based on gun violence. Maybe this is convincing kids to do bad things If our mobile devices are locked during school hours and we are not allowed to access until school is over, it may be better. I really want to change the way people think about the safety of our schools and why we are at school to learn. Some people do not have a good relationship with their parents, so they have issues they cannot tell their parents. If you don't want this to happen, you should work building a strong bond with your family. If you are struggling with this, talk to a counselor or teacher, or maybe someone you trust. Here is a reminder to you all. When days are hard, it will not last forever. You just have to leave all the anger and frustration behind. Forget about it and move on to the next day with expectation. In the words of Michael Jackson, be the man in the mirror and make the change.
Grace, that was beautiful. A lot of people, obviously you're listening to radio, not watching television, so it's hard to see what's happening in the studio. And I want to talk about what's happening in the studio. As Grace is reading this essay, she has her right hand on Esther's left shoulder because Esther is upset about this incident, right? And the way that it unfolded is the way that it touches all of us. You know, these are not words. These are images that people have in their minds that they want to share with an audience, all of us. And we hear these words, and they were beautiful, Grace. It's just beautiful. And we have to understand how moving these words are. These are not words that can be taken lightly. These are thoughts and ideas that are eloquently spoken and beautifully said. And Esther, we're going to talk a little bit later, you know, a little bit later after you're done reading your wonderful piece as well about why these are so moving to us. Because they are moving, aren't they? You know, we're all fun people, we're laughing, and we're having a good time. But there are times when we realize what it means to touch the human experience, and that's exactly what the three of you have done so very beautifully. And that is no exaggeration. That really is beautiful. Now, we've had some impressions going on, and I know that some of you have heard each other's essays and some haven't. But you wanted to share something? No? Yeah.
Yeah. I just want to give a shout-out to Ms. Cronin, Ms. Pringle, Ms. Thomas, Mr. Larkins, and Mr. Jones, because they're
your
all
teachers.
Great.
All your teachers, right?
All the ones she's trying to get A's from.
All the ones you're trying to get A's of. That's why students say hello to me, because they really want to say, get A's. Isn't that right, Nicole, Tatiana?
No. They just ask.
That's great. They're listening, though. They're watching.
They just ask for shout-outs. Yeah.
Well, what'd you think of this story? What'd you think? Malaya, what did you think of this story? What are your impressions?
I'm so speechless right now, but, like, yeah. It's amazing to hear, like, a seventh grader, your age, like, some people wouldn't, like, have the courage to come out here and speak.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's very emotional, as we can see over there with Esther.
No, it is.
And
it is extremely emotional.
Changes need to be made.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
We can't just keep going around with all these bad things happening, because it can turn out to be worse than it is.
Absolutely. Esther, what do you think? Just a couple of seconds, because we're going to get to you soon anyway. But what are your impressions? I know this was hard for you to hear.
When I heard Grace's story, it reminded me about almost every shooting that occurred. Like, innocent lives being lost and people dying because of something they did not do. That's brutal.
Yeah. No, it is. It is so brutal. It is so brutal. The mission, let's break away for a moment and talk about the missions of JJ's foundation. The mission of JJ's IME Foundation is to encourage at-risk middle and high school girls to be the best versions of themselves by exposing them to leaders that can help them get there. Leaders provide career development, health and wellness training, and education in helping the girls develop character. And one vision for JJ's IME is to establish a network of young women who serve as role models for future generations of young women. Hard to imagine better models than the young ladies we have right here. But what type of women make the cut, JJ?
Well, I do an extensive background check first, and a lot of that comes from looking at people's social media too to make sure that they are able to really represent the foundation correctly. you know, just great women who are doing positive work in the community and who are very genuine and very authentic and don't mind being transparent with the girls.
Well, you're doing something pretty magnificent. And you have a story about the reason for your foundation.
Yes.
And the importance to pour into these girls. Tell us that story.
Okay, are you ready? Yeah. 3944 Kirkup Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio. This is the house that I grew up in. And in my home lived myself, my mother, my father, and my great-grandmother, Edna Jennings. Now, Edna was not to be played with, okay? Edna was bold and Edna was sassy, all right? And she was so bold that when certain people would come to the door, knocking on the door, wanting to share their message, some people would hide from them. But not Edna. She would invite them right in. She would sit there with her Bible and she would have tea with them and battle it out on scripture. So people loved her. She was very bold, but yet sweet. And my dad loved her so much that he rebuilt the stairs outside of our home so that she could navigate smoothly into the house. So he took concrete, right? He rebuilt the stairs. He even put a banister so that she could navigate smoothly into the house because she was older. She was like 79 years old. I remember when he started building the stairs and there was a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. And I watched through the living room window. And my dad was a police officer, didn't have the background to be in construction, but he wanted to help my great grandmother. I remember when he finished and he yelled into the house, "Sweeta," Sweeta was my nickname. Please don't bring that up again. "Sweeta, come outside and write your name in the steps." And so everyone from my family, we ran outside to the top step and we all had a stick in our hand and we wrote our initials in the top step while the concrete was still wet. J.J. See, it was important for my father to have his family leave a mark in something that would last forever. And that is what we do with the IME Foundation. We are building young ladies like yourselves to be the best version of themselves so that you all can be amazing and do great work in this world and leave your mark.
I don't know what story I expected, but I didn't expect that. That was pretty wonderful. That was so personable. I don't know what I expected. I thought that maybe you would tell a story about, you know, someone outside of the foundation that might have. I didn't know that you'd be offering something that personal. That is so beautiful.
You know, it's steps. We're all building something.
No, but I mean the idea of something lasting forever. I always believe, and I know that all of you like writing, right? And I know that some of you are into journal writing. Who's into journal writing? One or two of you?
Esther writes every week.
But let me just share something with you. Can I just share something with you? And JJ knows this. I have over 100 volumes of journals. I've had things happen in my life that have really compelled me to write these journals. And one of the reasons I do it is because I find that journal writing is actually a way of becoming immortal. I know that sounds really strange, but the idea of writing these thoughts and ideas, I know that these thoughts and ideas are going to be heard and processed by somebody, my son, my grandson, other people, and that makes me feel really good, and that's one of the reasons I love teaching, because I know that even on the worst day, I know that I do something that makes an impression on someone. So when we talk about leaders and role models, we talk about this kind of a beautiful story about your home growing up, a safe haven, this mecca of wonder. When we hear this kind of a narrative, it really makes an impression on us. This is Hank Rubicek with Nicole Rocherlin on the boards, and you are enjoying J.J. Simmons and guest storytellers Malaya Guidry, Esther Adeyemi, and Grace Mitchell on So What's Your Story? Only on 90.1 FM Houston, 89.5 in Galveston, and 91.9 in Huntsville. Esther, your essay has a thread about animal responsibility, which I love. What prompted the idea for your essay?
Well, to be honest, I wanted my essay to stand out. I knew if they picked that prompt, it will probably be something about gun violence and shooting. Yeah, and I wanted to talk about something more different than gun violence and shooting, because we've been hearing about that a lot, and animal cruelty is not that common. In my home, there's a lot of cats, and most of them don't get fed. You see them dying on the streets and on the road in the compound. They get run over, and it's really sad that animals like that are dying. Yeah. So I decided to change that and write about
Please, tell it. Give us your essay.
The title of my essay is A Change in Treatment. Though there are tons of issues in this current world, and hopefully not in the future, that need severe change, such as active, apartheid, brutal gunfire in schools, and plenty for more which would take long years to list. If I could change something about the world with a magical wand, I would choose animal brutality. Although this act is not as eminent as the changes stated above, I chose to change this because this act is unfortunately becoming prevalent. Animals, whether wild or domestic, shouldn't be abused because they've done nothing wrong to us. A few of us might disagree and name several events where we've been brutally attacked by wild animals, but we often forget that these animals are merely doing what they tell will protect them. Various redundant news of animals becoming hunted and killed because they were considered dangerous or useful to the environment are occurring more regularly. And this is creating an extinction in animals that were once prized. From the West African rhinoceros, which were hunted for their hunt, to the Caribbean monk seal, which were hunted for their fours, we can somehow easily predict a world where there will be scarcity of animals because of our brutality. Hunting and killings of animals are not the only act inflicted on these creatures. Pets are being abused and maltreated by their owners. Some owners eat their pets, don't make food available to them, and even sell them to owners who do worse to them. I don't understand why individuals buy pets and treat them like they're worth nothing the next day. Do they do it for entertainment, lack of self-dignity, or just pleasure from watching something else suffer? Mistreating animals you spend money on is an act of great insanity. Adopted pets are expected to be brought into a caring home where all their needs should be taken off. But unfortunately, they're being haunted by the supposedly loving family who haunted them. We often take advantage of the fact that animals are unable to be enraged at us, but we fail to remember that though they're lesser in powers, animals do feel emotion. Stabbing a dog's eye and cutting up its tongue would cause as much damage to you as it would to the dog. We neglect their needs and claim that animals are not as important as human. We do unspeakable things to them and claim that they won't feel it. Well, just as we are humans, they're animals too, and they deserve the liberty we have. We should all realize that animals, whether big or small, wild or domestic, are still creatures that inhabit the earth with us. I chose to change the way we treat animals because I believe animals are more than we think. An earth without this creature, whether we neither feel anger or jealousy, will be the beginning of our Hunger Games-like society. The way we treat animals needs to change and needs to happen now because it's now or never.
That is so beautiful. I'm an animal lover, so this one really moved me. I hate, which is not a word I use often, I hate anybody who would say, it's only a dog, it's only a cat. I hate that, and I've known people who've said that, and they're never going to be my friends. Dogs are, animals are simply unconditionally loving. They're non-judgmental. They're everything people should be. And, you know, we're talking about storytelling, right? It's a story. It's a show about storytelling. One of the reasons I love fables is because fables have animals take the place of human beings to personify the human condition, because we listen more to animals. So we listen to these animal characters, right? More than people. They are so, so powerful. We are getting incredible comments from listeners, and I wanted to share one. Nicole has it right here, one in particular. This is from Nakia Dyer Robinson. Thank you so much. You ladies are so brave. Esther, I'm with you. It's so sad so many innocent young kids have lost their lives. Young girls like you can help change that, and I believe you sharing your story is the first step. Be the change you wish to see in the world. And this is a quote from Gandhi.
Thank you.
And that is about, well, That's about as precious as it comes. Very few people were as wise as Mahatma Gandhi. That is so beautiful. So beautiful. What are your impressions of Esther's stories, Alea? What do you think?
My impression is, like, I know what she's saying because it's very true that people have been mistreating their dogs. Because I have a neighbor my new neighbor, she lives in front of me, and they have this one dog that they keep, that they take outside sometimes. But the first day they came here, well, it had came to our, like, we saw it, so it came to us, running to us. And its stomach was very flat, and we can see its ribs. And we were like, I would tell my brother, Isaiah, go get some food. And he went to go get a plate of food, and then we put it right there in front of it. And then it ate it real fast. And then one time we came from like a party, and we got to bring home some rice. And it came to us again, and it was still like flat. So, my mom had took the rice and then she put it right in front of the dog, and it was very sad to see it like that. But now it's full and very healthy, and we're happy for that.
You didn't realize that listening to each other's essays would actually spur more stories. You all have stories. That's what storytelling does, though. That's what it does. It inspires all of us. So we want to stop the shooting. We want to take care of our furry friends. Malaya, your essay is both very moving and comprehensive. It's a comprehensive take on inequality. What is it about inequality that makes it the most important thing to you to change?
Well, I think people are getting, like, we have different races of people in America, and everybody is getting treated how they see people getting treated. So if you're culture is telling you to treat this person differently as to treat a Caucasian person, you're treating an African-American person differently, and it's not fair because we're all human. We all got the same blood running through us, so I really don't see what's the problem of the debate of equality.
Your essay will speak to that. Let's hear your wonderful message.
My essay title is Empowering and Changing the World. If I had a magical wand, I would take full advantage of it responsibly, because it would be my first and last chance to change the world that could positively affect our society. I would ensure that there are enough resources to go around for everyone to live happily without any suffering, including wiping out all kinds of evil thoughts, greed, and hatred from all living kind, and implant a wave of love, peace, sister, and brotherhood, and push out all of conflicts and disagreements, poverty, unhappiness, and violence from our world. Our ancestors died so that we can live better than them, than they did. But is that the case? No. People die every day because of bombs, school shootings, terrorist attacks, kidnappings, and much more. Everyone will be equal between sexes, races, and social background. Equality has been a debate and has dramatically changed our economy. I hear disagreements everywhere about how our government should be controlled and who should run it. But to keep it 100, I believe if there was equality to begin with, our history would have changed. Everyone shouldn't be the same because everyone wasn't made to be the same. I believe we should just have equality for people showing their uniqueness and individual personalities. But others can't accept the fact that people are different. If someone so much has does something in different way than one does, people see that people see that person as unusual or treat them without respect or unequality. Everyone is human. Everyone makes mistakes, but that doesn't give you the right to judge them the way they see or do things, let alone be closed-minded about different ideas. Although we are born into sin, we are not bound to sin in our everyday lives. Violence will not be the only solution a person turns to solve a situation. Violence is a serious problem that has gotten way out of hand. There will be no more racism, there will be no more democracy, there will be no more hate and crimes. People nowadays can be so harsh and uncaring and can't understand how their actions affect the people around them. Our society is so messed up, I'm starting to think that we are becoming our own enemies.
Food shortages will no longer exist. Instead, food will fulfill the earth for many to enjoy. The streets or under the bridge will no longer be the place I only have for people to live. Lovely homes will fulfill the earth and occupy the land for any and everyone. We need to set an example for our future generation because the looks of it now doesn't seem like the world is getting any better. Martin Luther King said, if you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. But by all means, keep moving. Individuals have fought to make our world great, died to make it better, and kept moving with whatever life threw at them. See, it's amazing to me because one could be so young and become so strong and powerful. My magical sprinkles will empower and change our world.
Wow. Yeah. That really even makes me speechless. You know, he said, Martin Luther King said so many things best. Violence does not wipe out violence. You know, only peace will do that. And the idea of equality, I think, is framed in a peaceful environment, a way of understanding that violence and atrocities and all of the terrible things that you pointed out as your essay unfolded really does have to stop. In many ways, I wanted you to read yours third because we listened to some really important issues, very focused issues about school shootings, about abusing animals, and you really covered so many of those embedded in your essay. What about impressions of this essay? What'd you think? Huh?
I think hers were better than all of ours.
No, it wasn't better. It was different. It was different.
Because she pointed out every single detail, and it just blew me away.
It was all of your essays, and this is, I'm not just saying that because you're sitting here, because it's important for you to understand this. All of your essays are equal. It isn't a matter of which one is better. They all say different things. That's why we need the three of you here, right? Mm-hmm. If we just wanted one of your essays, then we'd all only want to hear about one thing. We wanted to hear all of your things. And the kinds of lessons that we learn from all of your essays are pretty incredible. This is the kind of stuff that you really will notice days after this presentation, after this program. Right now, you really don't understand the full impact that you've made on our listeners. But you will eventually. This is really going to sink in. You've made an impression. You've made an impression.
Oh, I'm going to be famous.
Well, we're going to hear. No, we're going to hear. We're going to hear some more of those. We're going to hear some more of those in just a minute. In just a minute. You know, Nicole, you have met. Have you met any JJ's girls?
No, this is actually my first time.
Well, what are your impressions of these astonishing young ladies?
I am surprised that they are just in middle school. Uh-huh. However, I am, as a mother myself, I am elated that you ladies are so well spoken and that you can articulate a story so vivid and have the emotions to go behind it. And that shows it doesn't matter what age you are, we are impacting. But I'm hopeful for our future because if this is how your mindset is now, thank you, Jesus.
You know, there isn't, and we know JJ, so we know that having JJ by your side makes you very special people because that's the human ignition key that you need to do the magnificent things that you're doing. But here's what I don't want anybody in this room to underestimate. Human expression isn't important. It's everything. It's the one thing that moves the soul and gets the heart pumping. It always has been. And, you know, gaining attention, people listening to you, that is the greatest form of generosity, the fact that we can give to each other time and patience to listen to the thoughts and ideas that you have. It's pretty amazing. It really is. Tatiana, what do you think?
You know, before we got on the air today, I was just reading a little bit about the I'm Me Foundation, and it caught my eye, your mission statement and your vision. You create a foundation for these girls to become better versions of themselves and to become future leaders. And from the stories that I've heard from all three of you, it's working, and you guys are going to accomplish so much.
Really, really well said, Tatiana. Really well said. Now, I know you guys have to leave in a few minutes. because your parents are going to pick you up at school at 9, right? You don't want to leave. I love that. Everybody wants to. Nobody wants to leave because this is a great show, isn't it?
Yeah.
Go ahead and say it out loud. This is, and you can have my autograph later. I know. The thing is, you're having fun, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. But I know you guys have to leave it a little bit, and I wanted to do something first. Before you go, know that all of you demonstrated remarkable ways of handling adversity. None of you let anything stand in your way. So I know that each of you, in fact, all of us, will enjoy this little story, this little ditty called The Weight of the Glass by Angel and Mark Chernoff. Let me just read this to you, and you'll see why. Once upon a time, a psychology professor walked around a stage while teaching a course on how to deal with stress. As she raised a glass of water, everyone expected that she'd ask the question, is it half full or half empty? Instead, with a smile on her face, the professor asked, how heavy is this glass I'm holding? Well, students shouted out answers ranging from 8 ounces to a couple of pounds, and she replied, from my perspective, the absolute weight of the glass doesn't matter. It all depends on how long I hold it. Listen carefully, okay? If I hold it for a minute or two, it's fairly light. If I hold it for an hour straight, its weight might make my arm ache a little. If I hold it for a day straight, my arm will likely cramp up and feel completely numb and paralyzed, forcing me to drop the glass to the floor. In each case, the weight of the glass doesn't change. But the longer I hold it, the heavier it feels to me. As the class shook their heads in agreement, she continued, your stresses and your worries in life are very much like this glass of water. Think about them for a while and nothing happens. Think about them a bit longer and you begin to ache a little bit. Think about them all day long and you will feel completely numb and paralyzed, incapable of doing anything else. So what do we get from this? Well, it's important to remember to let go of your stresses and worries. No matter what happens during the days, as early in the evening as you can, put all of your burdens down. And when something is on your mind, say it. Speak it. Because if not, it's just going to hover in your body forever, and no one else will know. And there isn't anything more of a burden than that. Does that ring a bell?
Ooh,
right?
Yes, it does.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, I read your essays before coming up with that because I wanted to give you sort of a verbal gift because J.J. Simmons and her team of leaders, Grace Mitchell, Esther Adeyemi, and Malaya Guidry, showcase their desire for change with beautifully communicated original essays, complete with portrayals of obstacles to overcome to make those changes. You ladies did what the authors detailed in Weight of Glass, but the three of you, with the astonishing guidance of J.J. Simmons, did it instead by proving your weight in gold. You guys rock, and you better come back, right?
Yeah.
Right? Can you still hang out for a few minutes, or you got to go?
No, I don't want to go.
She doesn't want to go. You heard it. Doesn't want to go. Everybody. And I didn't pay them to say that either. listeners out there in Radio Land, I did not do that. But I don't want you to get into trouble.
Yeah,
okay? Don't want you to get into trouble.
Appreciate you guys.
I don't want you to do that. But you're going to come back, aren't you? Right?
Yeah.
Tatiana, while they're deciding whether they're going to sleep out here tonight or whether they're going to be leaving, eating more pizza, I don't know what they're going to do, but there are some great storytelling venues around Houston, right?
All right. To start, everyone can fine-tune their storytelling skills by joining our sponsor, the Houston Storytellers Guild, at their monthly story swaps. They meet the fourth Tuesday of every month from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at Temple Emanuel, located on 1500 Sunset. Be sure to visit the Guild's website at www.houstonstorytellers.org for upcoming events and for all of our past So What's Your Story programs. Every show since 2008 listed on the menu under radio program. And more, there is more. The Guild and our program are steps in the best possible direction for storytelling fun. But another step is a stopover at Warehouse Live, where our friends at the Moth host their story event on the second Tuesday of the month. An event more fun than the law allows. We also want our listeners to know that not having a radio is no excuse for missing our program, because you can listen to us stream live on kpft.org and Facebook Live. Be sure to follow us by visiting our So What's Your Story Facebook page, and be sure to share our page with friends. And we love it if you like us on the way out.
Thank you for that eloquent update. Thank you. Thank you, Tatiana. You know, I also want to report that Warren Holloman will be in San Antonio this weekend to tell a story for the Moth's Main Stage, a very big deal in the world of storytelling. And we wish him the best. I know that he's going to kill it. Absolutely know that. Okay, here's a little game called Potatoes, Eggs, and Coffee. So, Nicole, Tatiana, anybody who's around, pay attention. Okay? Because this is really important as soon as I find it. This is a story game. Once upon a time, a daughter complained to her father that her life was miserable, that she didn't know how she was going to make it. She was tired of fighting and struggling all the time. She seemed just as one problem was solved, another soon followed. Now, her father, a chef, took her to the kitchen. He filled three pots with water and placed each on a high fire. Once the three pots began to boil, he placed potatoes in one pot, eggs in the second, and ground coffee beans in the third. He then let them sit and boil without saying a word to his daughter. And the daughter moaned and impatiently waited, wondering what he was doing. After 20 minutes, he turned off the burners. He took the potatoes out of the pot and placed them in a bowl. He pulled the eggs out and placed them in a bowl. He then ladled the coffee out and placed it in a cup, kind of putting it in a strainer. Then he turned to his daughter and asked, "Daughter, what do you see?" "Potatoes, eggs, and coffee," she replied. "Look closer," he said, "and touch the potatoes." She did, and noted that they were soft. He then asked her to take an egg and break it. After pulling off the shell, she observed the hard-boiled egg, and finally, he asked her to sip the coffee. Its rich aroma brought a smile to her face. "Father, what does this mean?" she asked. He then explained that the potatoes, the eggs, and coffee beans had each faced the same adversity, which was the boiling water. However, each one reacted differently. The potato went in strong, hard, and unrelenting, but in boiling water, it became soft and weak. The egg was fragile, with a thin outer shell protecting its liquid interior until it was put in the boiling water, and then the inside of the egg became hard. However, the ground coffee beans were unique. After they were exposed to the boiling water, the adversity, right? They changed the water and created something new. "Which one are you?" he asked his daughter. And that's the question I'm asking all of you. Which one are you, Nicole?
Why you gotta put me first?
Because you are nearly a graduate of the University of Houston
kids.
Downtown. A wise, brilliant person who's under the tutelage of, you know, so I'm kind of showing off what you can do here.
I would say that because of my experience in life, mm-hmm. my career change, and all of the things that I've gone through, I would say I'm the coffee.
You're the coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you took the, so what does that mean? That means you took the boiling water, you took that adversity,
yeah,
right, and you made it into lemonade, so to speak. You made it into something.
I made it into a model. I made it into a media personality. I made it into a media company.
And
I made it to
let you
everything.
Know that it's not necessarily, there is no right or wrong answer, by the way, just to let you know. What do you think, Grace? Which one are you?
I would be...
She's being thoughtful. Stop picking on her. Right? You look like you're ready to sing a rock song. You're grabbing that mic going, okay, just ready to.
Nice.
Yeah, you're having too much fun. Way too much fun. What do you think?
I would be the eggs.
The egg. So you'd be hard.
Yeah.
Right? That's okay. So you would say, no, not on my watch. You're not going to get me kind of an attitude, right? And that's cool. That's great. Esther, what about you?
Well, to be perfectly honest,
I love when she starts that way. It's like, no, I'm going to lie next time. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to lie, to be perfectly honest. But then, okay.
I would be all of them because I react to different.
Oh God, that's kind of a cop out, but I like it. I like it. I like that. Brunch. What a good demo. So there's a little bit of each of you, right? So there's a part of you that might get hard and unrelenting. You might soften up and chill a little bit, but at the same time, you might find the best way out with that obstacle, right? Make sense?
Yep.
Okay. Tatiana, what about you? And then we're going to ask Malaya.
Well, I want to say the coffee bean. Because I want to say is that I've taken a chance on myself, and people have taken a chance on me. So I've been able to become more expressive and try to influence others.
I love when you said that, and this is going to give me a real quick segue, if you don't mind, before we hear from Malaya, because one of my favorite, and this is my quote, you know, I love other people's quotes. Every once in a while, I come up with mine, and mine is, and I tell my students this all the time, and that is, your primary goal in life is to make sure you live a life so that nobody dare bet against you.
It's not about where you're. It's not about where you're from. It's where you're going.
That's right. Don't let anybody ever bet against you. They want to bet against you. That's fine, but not on me. You know, don't ever bet against me. I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to say what I want. I'm going to feel good about who I am, and regardless of what you say, I'm okay. Who I am, that level of self-acceptance is much more rare than you might think. And that, in part is what Tatiana's talking about, in part, which I love. Malaya, what about you? Which one would you be?
Well, to begin with, like Esther, I am a little bit of all of them, but it takes, like, I've developed myself to change. So, like, I might be the egg at first, uh-huh. I'm going to harden up, I'm going to be big and bold, but if you say something that can really touch me, I'm not going to get touched that easily. But if you say something that really touches me, I'm going to become a potato. I'm going to get soft and become very sentimental. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the day, I'm going to turn into coffee beans because I know that I could pick myself back up. And I know that my dad is always there to inspire me and, you know, get me on my feet again because my family is my number one priority.
Well, just like your essay, that is a comprehensive, well thought out response. That's a very beautiful response.
Thank you.
I'm not surprised, but you're kind of a chameleon.
What?
A chameleon. You don't know what a chameleon is. Okay. A chameleon is a little reptile. I think it's a reptile.
It,
an amphibian.
It blends in to things.
It's an amphibian?
I don't know.
She said that.
What are you, biology people here? What are you
giving
me a hard time? Okay.
That's what's
whatever
running.
She is. Okay. Oh, you've got a teacher back there. Oh, for God's sakes. I just failed a quiz and I'm, you know, an old man. Okay. So a chameleon changes colors, right? They change colors. And they don't change colors in order to fit in. They change colors in order to adapt to the circumstance. And that's a little bit different. And I think that's what you're saying, right? JJ, what do you think? Which one would you be?
Oh, man. I think I would be the potato. I do. I mean, it's
I thought
not,
you were big and bold.
I mean, I
well,
most,
stop
but
picking
I,
on
but
her.
You know what?
Did she yell at her?
But that's
did she
what
yell
I
at
normally
you?
Am. That's oh. She's right. I mean, that's what I normally
right.
am. So
yeah.
I think, you know, given circumstances, I would need to become something else because I always am pretty big and bold. So it's okay to
that's
be a
okay.
little Miss Salty.
That is
sometimes.
Okay.
It changes sometimes.
Yeah, it does.
But you know, the nice thing about a question like this, you know, from a story like this, is that we learn different things. That's sort of a subtext. So we hear a story, a moral, and we listen to different things, right? And we learn different things. And that kind of point of view, it kind of reminds us that diversity is a blessing, not a constraint. You know what I'm saying? So we're all a lot different. Mm-hmm. And there are different anecdotes for narrow-mindedness and prejudice. And the way that we work out these problems is by understanding different points of view. Okay, now a little bit of tip for the teller. You guys will like this because this is a minute that we take during the show to help people darn their yarn. And every week we sort of do a little 1 minute giving a suggestion about how to improve storytelling. And since you're all here getting yourselves and me into trouble, I'm going to be asking you your own point of view about how to make stories work in just a second. But here's a little one. Delivering a story well is a tall order because it requires a lot of skills. And one underrated skill is to know how to orchestrate the pacing of a story. Now, pacing isn't about rate. Rather, it's the rhythmic strategy needed to convey the correct interpretation for listeners. So notice what happens when I consciously pause at the right moments. I could say, my wife doesn't understand me. I'm not sure. Maybe she doesn't love me anymore. I don't know. Or I could say, my wife doesn't understand me. I'm not sure. Maybe she doesn't love me anymore. Notice what those pauses do? They change the interpretation. What about this one? No doubt I'm very quiet and I'm very pale, but yes, I'm very quiet. Or I can say, no doubt I'm very quiet and I'm very pale, but yes, I am very quiet. And, you know, one of the things that I had asked JJ to remind all of you to do is to sort of take your time navigating your way through your papers, because pausing helps listeners listen to us. You know, when you tell a story, you can only tell it once. You can't repeat it. And when you do, it's going to be different anyway. So when you are giving an oral presentation, you've got to take your time and you have to do what you can to deliver your message meaningfully. And JJ knows this better than anybody because she's been a great on-air talent for many years. You have to be able to create intimacy and rapport with your audience and establishing a pause, making sure that your listeners listen to what they need to accentuate the meaning is a really important one. Another one is, I own this great golden retriever, Tim. He's like Lassie, remember Lassie. Or I can say, I own this great golden retriever, Tim. He's like Lassie. Remember Lassie? It was Jill. She was the one. She was the one. It's interesting because you can take any English sentence and you can make it mean whatever you want based on your vocal intensity and variety, right? I can say, Jack, that's your sister, Jill. Jack, that's your sister, Jill. Jack, that's your sister, Jill. Wait, Jack, that's your sister, Jill. You get the idea, right? You liked that one, didn't you? Yes. So take a breath, everybody. Know when to pause and relax.
Relax.
Right. JJ, there are a lot of factors that create despair for our children, just to get serious for a moment. Mm-hmm. And you point to fathers not being around as one of those factors, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, although it's somewhat obvious, tell us why the absence of fathers create so much concern.
I mean, so many different reasons. You have this is your first dynamic with a man who loves you. And when you don't have that person there to set the example of what it's like for a man to love you, then you have girls that can look in other areas for that love and looking to other men. And this is how we get involved with people we don't need to be involved in. That's just one example.
Yeah, but I think it's wonderful that you pointed that out, sort of a punctuation mark in your literature, because, you know, fathers are important We don't realize how critical they are. And you know my story a little bit. My story a little bit. And I'm very close to my son, but it wasn't easy. I had to really step it up and be a special kind of a father for a lot of different reasons. And that's one of the reasons I shared earlier that I was writing journals a lot. And it was important because I wanted to come to grips with a lot of my own limitations and the things that bothered me. And what I needed to do to really excel in fatherhood, in parenting. And that's why that really struck me as so very important. Mm-hmm. Fathers are so important. Mothers are so important. Friends are so important. Support systems are critical. And there aren't many people who have a full slate of support systems. Yeah. You know, there might be one person, maybe one's a little fragmented, not around. But we really do need support. And sometimes fathers are, sometimes they're just underrated a little bit as far as playing the role in the lives of their daughters. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something we really do have to think about. JJ, tell us where we can go to learn more about the I'm Me Foundation.
Sure. You can go to our website. It's I'mme foundation.org. We're all over social media, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram as well. I'm Me Foundation.
same information to donate or get involved in other ways?
Yes. If you go to the website, you can click to volunteer. We are always in need of some amazing volunteers.
Yeah.
And you can donate on the website as well.
And we put that on our Facebook page, but we're going to do it again. I'll do it tonight or tomorrow, or Nicole will do it to make sure that people get that information.
Thank you.
What about where to seek help from the foundation? People need help.
Yeah, we actually have a lot of people who reach out to us saying, hey, my daughter wants to be a part of the tour. We'd love to get her a part of the tour. We actually go to schools. So what we're recommending parents to do is just to get with administration, whether it's a principal or a counselor, and just let them know we want the IME tour at our school so that we can come to the school.
Yeah. Before we wrap it up, I'm just curious about something. I want to know if there were storytellers in your lives. I want to know if there was a storyteller in your life growing up. Yeah? Tell me who that was.
Well, it had to be my dad or my granny. Like, my dad, he would always tell me these stories. They would be sad. They would be funny. I mean, it would just bring out his personality. And he told me this story one time where his dad, my papa, I don't know what he did, but my papa was told my dad, and he was like, if you put your brain in a bird, it'll fly backwards. And it just like, I love this guy.
Yeah. He speaks as ridiculously as I do. I love that.
Like,
I love it.
Yes. I will never forget that. Like, that
I
so
bet
funny.
You don't. You have anybody in your life, storytellers?
My mom and the family, but mainly my mom, because I ask her 1,000 questions and she answers them in stories.
Yes, my grandmother did that all the time. Yes, she never gave me a straight answer. Everything was a story and I had to figure it out. Esther, what about you? Storyteller in your home growing up?
Well, I'm not going to start with, to be perfectly honest.
Okay. Surprising. I was expecting it, but go for it.
But my parents were storytellers. They tell me stories about their childhood, their villages, how natural they lived, and the funny moments they had.
Oh, God. You know, I think I struck a funny bone with you guys. Did you have a good time, though? Really?
Yeah.
We're all in trouble. Every one of us are in trouble.
Yeah,
your parents are going to be calling 911 any second now.
911?
They'll be calling a SWAT team to come get me or something. Grace, Esther, Malaya, JJ, this was great.
This was so great.
So nervous. Don't you dare move, because Wild Bill and the Vinyl Avenger, that animated duo, are up next with Cool Classics for the much cooler you. Make 90.1 a part of every day, and while you're driving home, turning in for the night, or just chilling, join us every Wednesday at 8 p.m. for So What's Your Story? And treasure what you hear. You keep loving a great story, and we're going to keep bringing them to you. This is Dr. Hank, along with the rest of the So What's Your Story team, and we never want you to forget that it is never too late to live happily ever after. Peace.
Start your engines. Houston is revving up for the 31st annual Houston Art Car Parade Weekend. Mark your calendars and enjoy 4 fun-filled days of festivities from April 12th to April 15th. Get into the mood with 2 days of pre-parade partying including a sensational sneak peek soiree and the legendary Art Car Ball. Then, the weekend's main event, the one and only Art Car Parade, Saturday, April 14th. Tickets, VIP passes, and more details at thehoustonartcarparade.com. Powered by the Orange Show Center for Visionary Art and KPFT Houston.
You are listening to KPFT.